It's Raj Margu again, and this is part 4 of our podcast about Vilasudur. And we come to question number 6, which is, does Vilasudur cause less sexual dysfunction than the SSRIs, or does it cause sexual dysfunction at all? And the key reference for this, in case somebody's interested, is Clayton et al. 2013 in Journal of Sexual Medicine. Now, I'm going to summarize for you the key findings in just a couple of minutes. So, if you look at the two short-term randomized controlled trials that compared Vilasudone to placebo, we can look at the question of sexual dysfunction in three different ways. Okay? And listen to these three ways, and then you draw your own conclusions as to what do you think about sexual dysfunction with Vilasudone. First way is that you can use the rating scales, use a cutoff score, and divide the people into those who have sexual dysfunction and those who don't have sexual dysfunction based on the people who are above the cutoff score or below the cutoff score. Okay? So using this method, the percentage of patients on Vilasudone and on placebo who were considered to have sexual dysfunction was not different. Vilasudone was equal to placebo both in men and in women. Okay, so that's method number one. Method number two, maybe we say, oh, you know what? We don't like this cutoff because I guess things will depend on where you draw the line. Even though some of this is standardized, why don't we look at the actual scores on the sexual dysfunction rating scales without dividing the patients into those with high or low scores? Now, if you use this method, then there are two studies. In one study, Vilasudone clearly had worse scores for sexual functioning than those on placebo in case of men. And in women, things were less clear, but at a minimum, women on Vilasudone at least had more problems with arousal than those on placebo. So this is different from the first method number one. But in the second randomized controlled trial, a different rating scale was used for sexual dysfunction. And using this other scale, Vilasudone did not differ from placebo in either men or women. So this is confusing. You get one type of finding when you do it one way, and you get a different finding when you do it another way. Now, coming to method number three, which is helpful for clinicians, and this method is not confusing, is to look at people who report, where the patient reports that they had a sexual dysfunction related symptom that was not present before starting the Vilasudone. And a fancy way of saying this is to call these symptoms treatment emergent adverse events. So 8% of patients on Vilasudone reported some type of sexual dysfunction as a treatment emergent adverse event, but only 0.9% of patients on placebo reported this type of adverse events. So 8% versus about 1%. Right? So this is based on like just the patient feeling that they have sexual dysfunction that is new onset. The other thing you want to know is what type of sexual dysfunction. Now, if you look at the list of the adverse events that occurred with Vilasudone and at least twice as often as on placebo, decreased libido was reported by 4%, abnormal or absent orgasm by 3%, and delayed ejaculation by 2%. Okay, so overall, my conclusion is that Vilasudone is associated with sexual dysfunction in some patients. The number of patients who have sexual dysfunction with Vilasudone might be less than that with SSRIs, but we don't have a head-to-head comparison. There's no study where Vilasudone and SSRIs were used in the same study, and so this is the $64 question to which we don't have the answer. So let me stop here, and we'll continue in the next part with question number 7 onwards, which will be the nitty-gritty about how to actually use Vilasudone in our patients. Thank you, everybody, for listening.